I'm Audra Tracy.
And I'm Griff, and this is Selling on eBay, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. Audrey, what's our theme for this week's show?
Our theme for this week is set yourself up for success in 2019.
Set yourself up means planning for success.
Correct. And to that end, on today's show, we'll talk to Sandy Leyva. She's a CPA and she has some expertise with small businesses and eBay sellers in particular. She's going to recommend how we look at our 2018 and how to set financial goals for 2019.
And then on our Inside eBay segment, you, Audrey, will explore the Seller Performance tab, specifically Seller Metrics in Seller Hub, with Director of eBay Community, Brian Burke. I think it's the second time he's been on our show.
First, I think so.
Brian spent years working on the Trust team prior to his role leading our community program, so he knows the subject inside and out. You're going to want to tune into that.
That and so much more, like The Buzz with Alan Aisbett and What's Hot with Liz Austin.
That's right, Audrey. Shall we begin the show?
Absolutely. Up next, Alan Aisbett with The Buzz. And now, here with The Buzz, we welcome back Alan Aisbett. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Audrey. Good to see you. How's it going?
Good, good. What do you have for us this week?
Okay, so the hot topic this week really is all around carrier rate increases. We're seeing a lot of chatter in the community and also on social. So the main cause of this is that USPS, UPS, FedEx are all increasing their rates. So sellers are discussing how they will handle the rate increases and how they should update their listings. They're also discussing shipping strategies. They're trying to figure out how they can potentially save money. And also sellers have been asking us if the shipping calculator on eBay will be updated with the new rates.
And what's been our response? How are we addressing carrier rate increases?
Yeah, so yesterday we actually made an announcement on the community. Sellers can check it out at ebay.com/announcements. It has all of the information, links to all of the carrier websites and some tips. I do want to read out a couple of high-level tips for sellers just in case they can't make it to the announcements quickly. So are you ready?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, number one, sellers, if you offer free shipping, make sure you review your listings to see if your prices can absorb the extra costs or if you need to make adjustments. Number two, if you use calculated shipping, make sure to review your listings for accurate package weights and measurements. Your listings will show the new rates automatically once they take effect. And finally, number three, if you charge a flat rate for shipping, review your listings to see if your flat rate covers the price increases. You may have to raise your flat rate charges to maintain your margins.
And what about the shipping calculator?
The news there is that the shipping calculator will be updated when the new rates are effective.
And remind us where we can find the shipping calculator?
You can find the shipping calculator at ebay.com/SHP/calculator. And there you can select your package type, add dimensions and weight, add your zip code and handling fees, and select domestic or international shipping or a particular city. So lots of great tools. Just make sure you click calculate shipping and you'll get a shipping estimate.
Very handy. That's a great tool.
Sure is. And now on to a newsworthy item. eBay's revamped Gifts That Give Back, or GTGB for short, program provides over 54,000 charities the tools they need to create symbolic gift listings. These gifts may be purchased if you wish to support your favorite nonprofit organization.
That's such a great program, and eBay ensures that 100% of the proceeds go directly to the sponsoring charity. Basically, it works like this. The charities create a listing for a donation for a specific item. As an example, charities such as St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital can create a gift listing and raise funds to purchase books, art supplies, physical therapy, and so much more. So, Alan.
Yes.
Any interesting fundraisers coming out of this program?
Yes, of course. This is eBay, and when we do things and we do auctions, we tend to do them with fun. One thing you might know, your son's a gamer, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Okay, does he know who Dan TDM is?
Yes, and by the way, I know who Dan TDM
wow.
is. Yes.
I'm sorry, Dan TDM, if you're listening, I had to look him up. But we did recently run a fundraiser involving Dan TDM. So how it worked, there was a recent campaign by Make-A-Wish UK in partnership with Disney and Dan TDM. The campaign team created a £1 listing with the proceeds benefiting Make-A-Wish UK, and the buyer of the listing was entitled to receive video credit in one of Dan TDM's video. So as you can imagine, with a very popular YouTuber, in less than a week we had tons of interest, over 1,400 donations were made, and the resulting credits can be viewed on Dan TDM's YouTube video.
I bet my son's name is on that video.
Yeah, maybe multiple times if he had access to your PayPal account.
Exactly.
You might want to check it out.
I'm going to go look at my PayPal account right now.
Do it.
Okay, anything else for The Buzz?
No, that's all. That's all that fits. I will see you again this time next week.
Okay, we'll be here.
Thank you. Take care.
Coming up next, let's talk about something important to all small businesses, money. With us now is Sandy Leyva. She's a CPA who helps small businesses and is very familiar with selling on eBay. Welcome, Sandy.
Thank you so much, Griff. Glad to be here.
It's our pleasure. So can you tell us a little bit about your background with eBay?
Yes, I'm a CPA, and so I'm really more focused on helping small businesses like the eBay sellers get more profit and reach all of their goals and be more successful. So that's a little bit about me.
And that's a good thing. We love success. Now, as sellers look back on their businesses in 2018, what are some of the key financial metrics that you believe they should be tracking?
Well, there's a few. You know, one of the things that is important is cash. So that's definitely something that I think people are going to be looking at anyway. But there's also something that I call the pipeline balance. If you picture all of your inventory in four different buckets, you've got the items that you just purchased that are unlisted, you've got the listed items, you've got sold items, and then you've got your cash. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of like your four buckets. And I think those need to all be full or kind of equal, so to speak. And they all need to kind of keep rotating in a pipeline. One of the ways that you can measure the health of your business is to look at the valuations in each of those four areas and to keep the pipeline flowing and to make sure you don't like run out in any one of the four areas.
Can you give us an example of how that works?
Yeah. So for example, as soon as you purchase items that you want to list on eBay, those are going to go into your unlisted items bucket. Don't want to have too many of those. You want to get them listed right away.
Yes.
You want to have listed items, but you don't want them to linger on eBay for too long. You want your inventory turnover to be pretty fast.
Yeah.
And then you've got your sold items. For some people, I know it's a bunch of boxes on the dining room table. For others, it's an entire warehouse of things. And so you're shipping those out. And so that's kind of one area. And then you've got your cash. To me, you can turn all of that into numbers and kind of track it that way and just make sure that you've got healthy activities going in each of those pipeline balance areas, pipeline bucket areas.
I can give you an example of my own personal current unhealthy status. About 95% of my inventory right now is unlisted.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, uh-oh is right.
Yeah, so that delays your cash, right?
Absolutely.
Sure, I'm preaching to the choir here. So, yeah, it's just a matter of finding the time to get all that done. And it may even be worth it for you to hire some help to get that backlog cleaned up.
I've actually thought about that. So that's the next step. But if you're a seller out there and you're listening and you're like me and a larger percentage of your inventory hasn't yet been listed, I guess that's not doing any of us any good.
Yeah, that's the first step. Get that unlisted items bucket. Not as low as possible because you want to keep buying things, but, you know, get them moving. Give yourself a measure of how many days that unlisted item is going to stay unlisted. And if it's longer than a week, I think you want to get some help there.
One of the things I wanted to ask you, because I know that when I first started out in business, it was a little confusing for me. And I know there's some sellers who aren't even aware of this, but can you tell us what a P&L is and how it's important to a business?
Absolutely. It is very important. A P&L stands for profit and loss, and it is a financial report that you can get out of your accounting system. The whole purpose of having a business is to make money. Now, you might have some other goals, like to have fun with it, but if you're losing money, then you may want to figure out how you want to spend your time otherwise, right?
Mm.
Or figure out how to price differently so that you are having money come in. And the profit and loss report, once you get all your transactions posted in your accounting system, will give you an accounting of exactly what your business is doing in the dollars and cents. Do you have revenue left over after your expenses? Hopefully you're paying yourself a salary. Or is it a loss? Did you goof up and price some things wrong or have inventory that didn't move? You can make that up by selling some other things that are more profitable. But your profit and loss statement, or your income statement is another term for it, is something that will tell you how much profit is left over after you've recorded all of your revenue and recorded all of your expenses in your business.
It could also be in a case where you're not very profitable, where your expenses are too high and you need to figure out a way to get them down.
Exactly. And if you're paying yourself a salary, then there's nothing wrong with breaking even in the business. If you're not paying yourself a salary, then you're probably going to want to have something left to cover all the time you spent on your business. So there's different entity types, and it's probably good to get with a professional accountant to really understand what it means if you're not familiar with this already.
If I'm an eBay seller, and as it turns out I am, although not very active in the last few months, how should we be evaluating our performance of our inventory? You know, for example, how do we determine winners and losers? Some people have inventory that is kind of long tail and they don't expect it to sell very quickly. So I'm assuming that one size does not necessarily fit all. But can you give us some advice on how we can make that determination so we can get rid of the losers and focus on the winners?
Absolutely. And this is the part of working in your business that I like to call working on your business instead of in your business. So it's really great that you're asking that question. What we need to do to evaluate individual inventory items is to look at the revenue that they brought in and then the cost of selling and purchasing, you know, all the costs that are generated with that particular item. Now, what's going to happen, depending on what type of seller you are, you're right, there's going to be a lot of differences. You might have high volume and very low profitability. So what we call low margins. So the rate of how much you make on each item is called the margin. And so what you want to do is you are going to have different margins across different inventory. But what I would look at is what can you repeat that you loved having happen to you? So can you go get some more of whatever item sold really well and was fairly profitable for you? If you can get a higher volume of items, you can repeat it. Now, if you are in vintage or something like that, you're going to have one-offs, but you might have suppliers for things that might sell better than others. So take a look at that and see what worked best for you. And you're going to have to keep pretty detailed financial records item by item. Mm-hmm. So if you have a huge volume, you're probably just going to want to do some sampling to see. Trust your gut and take a look at things like that. Now, we do have a couple of metrics that we could introduce you to. Yes. One of them is the inventory turnover. And what you do is you take cost of goods sold, which are your direct expenses of purchasing the item. You might include your shipping costs, anything that you can directly attribute to that particular item. And then you divide the cost of goods sold divided by average inventory. Average inventory meaning beginning plus ending divided by 2. Now, I know that was kind of a lot, and you're probably going to need to take notes and listen to the podcast again.
I'm taking notes as we speak.
But that's one of several. And again, when you get into this advance, you're probably going to want to get with a good accounting advisor that can help you with this kind of stuff individually.
And when we're using those metrics, for example, what you just mentioned, what are we looking for? So I'm going to run that formula. Is there a indication in the result that tells me, hey, this is something I should focus on changing, or this is something I could focus on repeating?
Well, for inventory turn, you want it to be the fastest possible. But the higher the margin of the product, the longer the inventory turn can be.
Yeah.
If you take a look at outside the eBay world for a second, a grocery store, mm-hmm. they actually lose money on things like paper towels and bread. So their margins are razor thin. And the only way a grocery store stays in business is because the turnover is so amazing. They have to restock their shelves every night. And then, you know, on the other hand, we might look at what's a really fancy car, Griff?
A Lamborghini.
Oh, perfect. We might look at Lamborghini. And of course, their profit margins are going to be huge per car. So they're not going to need to sell that many units in order to make a really decent amount of money. And so you got to decide whether you got a grocery store model or a Lamborghini model. But you can do a longer inventory turn with the Lamborghinis in your eBay business than with a grocery store item.
This makes sense. Lamborghinis, as nice as they are, don't necessarily fly off the shelf like bread head does.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot has changed in the recent years, especially in this last year in 2018, of course, when it comes to taxes and compliance. Can you summarize some of the changes that you believe are really important for eBay sellers to pay attention to, and what are the actions they need to start taking as we move into 2019?
Oh my goodness, there have been so many changes, Griff. This has been a crazy year. So there's new tax laws. So you're definitely going to want to work with a professional, a tax accountant, a tax professional this year. Depending on your entity type, as long as you're not what we call a C corporation, which very few eBay sellers, I think, are going to be C corp. They're going to be one of the other entity types.
Like
they might be S corp. They might be a sole proprietor. They might be a partnership.
An LLC?
An LLC, exactly. All of those are going to get a 20% tax break, but there are a ton of rules around it. And it actually passes from your business to your individual account. So you want to think about taking advantage of that law. There's also some brand new extra depreciation rules that might be helpful to some businesses. And then the biggie is the sales tax court case that we had. So we really need to watch sales tax. So a couple things there. We've had the biggest set of tax changes in more than 30 years. The 1040A is thrown out. All the forms are thrown out. The 1040 is new. It looks like a postcard this year with 7 parts. Going to make everybody crazy. All the forms changed. So if there was a good year to get someone to do your taxes for you, then this is it. And since you are in business, you might have deductions that a tax person knows about that you may not know about. So it might actually save you a lot of money to hire a tax person this year.
We're almost done here, Sandy, and I want to thank you again for stopping by. I wanted to give you a chance to tell our sellers, if they had to set one goal for 2019, what would be your advice for that goal?
Well, I think it depends on the person, because if your main goal is to just have fun with your eBay business, then, you know, you may want to just have an intangible goal like that. If you are numbers oriented or are interested in purchasing, you might want to set a revenue goal or a number of items goal. You know, if you love the impact you're having on the economy and you're hiring people, maybe you're really proud that you've got people employed. Maybe you have an employment goal.
Ah.
So I think it depends on the person, but have fun with your goals. They don't have to be all accounting-y, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Think about an intangible goal as well. And I would say give yourself a word or a theme for 2019, and that makes it fun too. Your theme could be scale. You know, you scale and grow your business. Your theme could be fun. Your theme could be recycling. You know, maybe you're taking vintage and recycling it to the people who could really use the items. So lots of really great things that you could do.
A lot of food for thought there. I'm going to take some of your advice. I think I might hire someone, Sandy. I think that's a smart thing to do.
Cool.
I'm never going to get the work done otherwise.
Yeah, there you go.
And I think the big takeaway from this is it's really wise to have a CPA or a tax attorney on hand that can help you with these issues as they pop, especially after this last year and this coming year where there's been so many changes to the tax code.
Absolutely.
Sandy, I want to thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and I hope you're not too busy this season, although I suspect you will be.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Sandy Leyva. She's a CPA specializing in small businesses.
Coming up next, we'll deep dive into the performance tab of Seller Hub to uncover data all sellers should be familiar with, seller performance standards and service metrics. Welcome to the Inside eBay segment, and today we have Brian Burke, Director of Community, here to chat about two important areas of Seller Hub, seller performance standards and service metrics. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Audrey. Thanks for having me.
Now, I feel everyone who knows anything about eBay knows Brian Burke, but for the few folks that don't, what's your role here at eBay and how long you've been here?
So my role here at eBay is I'm the Director of Community Development, and that means I'm responsible for the community team, some of the outbound communications, also listening to our sellers on issues that they have. We've got a panel of 5,000 sellers that we do surveys with on a regular, in fact, monthly basis to get insights and input on products and policy changes that we're thinking about making.
And you take all of those insights and send them to the appropriate teams for
Correct.
Looking at policy, looking at pricing, looking at all kinds of stuff.
Product changes, anything that our product organization, our policy teams, shipping teams, if they're looking for insights from sellers, that's one of the channels. There's many channels we use to tap into our sellers' knowledge, but that's one of the channels that our product teams have to get insight.
Got it. Now, today we're talking about seller performance standards and service metrics. First of all, where can you find that data? And then why is it important to sellers?
Within the Seller Hub, there are a number of tabs. And one of the most important that I believe is the performance tab. And it's one that's available to all sellers within the Seller Hub. There are two components that we'll talk about today. The performance tab has service level, and then it also has service metrics. So service level is really just about how are you doing as a seller? And those levels have been around since 2008, and everyone's probably very familiar with them.
We also call them seller performance standards.
Correct.
So there's a couple ways we talk about this.
Yep. Within the tab on the Seller Hub, it's seller levels. But it's top rated seller, above standard, and below standard. And every seller should know how they're performing, and they should know the metrics behind those levels. Those metrics are the ones that are most important to buyers. Is the item arriving on time? Is the item as described by the seller within the listing? Things that are valuable and important to the buyer.
And we look at seller standards every month. Can you explain Correct. The evaluation cycle?
So every month on the 20th, we evaluate the seller's performance against the number of listings and the number of issues that the sellers had around item not received or not as described. Sellers who are doing less than 400 transactions in a year, all of their transactions over the last year would be looked at. If you're doing more than 400 transactions in a 90-day window, you would just be looked at how are you performing in the last 90 days.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. The levels you can be evaluated at are basically at standard, you're doing fine, below standard, you need a little help, and TRS, top rated seller. Can you explain the benefits of top rated seller? Why would someone want to shoot for that?
Well, there's a couple things about top rated seller. So the first is you'd want to be top rated seller because it's meeting the needs of the buyers. There are some other benefits, and I'll talk about those in a second. But I'd say the most important thing that comes with top-rated seller is it's signal to the buyer that you're meeting eBay's top standards. It also means you're shipping very quickly. You're shipping within a day, which means when a buyer's evaluating your listings and how quick it's going to come to you, it means it's going to come quicker than someone who, let's say, is shipping within 2 days or 3 days. And so that's an important metric, and it's important for buyers to understand how quick they're going to get the item. And then, of course, on the benefit side, in addition to a badge as top-rated, if you are top rated plus, which means you're shipping within a day and you offer 30-day returns and offer free returns, then you're also going to receive a 10% discount on your final value fees.
If I'm a shopper, can I see a seller's performance other than top rated seller? Can I see that a seller is below standard or at standard?
So you won't be able to see that they're below standard or above standard. If you go to anyone's feedback page, you'll see there's a top rated seller designation. Also within the listings, you'll see top rated seller badge, but nothing if the seller is above standard or below standard.
Got it. So TRS, top rated seller, is really that signal of trust that you're a good seller with a good record.
And that you're meeting the performance standards that buyers expect today.
What happens if you go below standard? I know this is a little bit of a touchy subject, but I think sellers should know exactly what can happen if things go wrong.
There are three levels of performance standards on eBay for a reason, and I think it is important. There are two things that really happen to a seller who falls below standard. And just to set context, there are very few of our sellers in the marketplace who are below standard, and I think part of it is because of the Seller Hub and the metrics that we share. Sellers have visibility on a month-to-month basis exactly where they stand. And actually, we even show how they're trending.
Right.
And so it's important for sellers to get comfortable and get used to looking at those metrics on the Seller Hub. But if a seller does fall below standard, two things occur. Their listings are not shown as high in search, and there's a 4% surcharge to their final value fees.
So tell us again where we can find this. If you go to Seller Hub, then Performance tab.
Correct. Click on the Performance tab. I think it's the second one down. It'll say seller level. And then further down, there's a seller metrics one.
Got it. Now, last year, eBay introduced what we're calling service metrics. What are those exactly?
So service metrics really focus on two things: item not as described claims and items not received claims. What we're looking for there is the seller shipping the item when they said they're going to ship the item, and did it arrive? And then also for item not as described, are they taking care of the buyer if there is an issue? And if they're not, then we're showing those metrics, and we're showing the metrics in comparison to other sellers within the category.
So there's a peer group, right? And it's defined by category and anything else, sales volume?
So there's sales volume and category. And I think it's really important for folks to understand that like it's not to the exact item, but it's across the category. And it's one of those things that we're going to continue to evaluate and look at. I think this is really important data because one of the things that in the past we heard actually criticism from sellers that their particular category was different. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a way for a seller actually to go and look to say, okay, how am I actually performing against peers in my category? And so instead of just looking at, hey, I'm above standard or I'm top rated compared to other sellers across the marketplace, this data shows up against your peers within the category.
eBay doesn't want to compare people that sell tractors to people that sell used clothing, right? That wouldn't make any sense. And you can imagine the return rate on those two categories are very different.
Very different.
So that's why we want to look at you compared to your peer group.
Correct.
And why are we sharing service metrics data with sellers?
I would say there's two things. One is this data actually rolls up into our standard levels. So whether it's above standard, below standard, or top rated. And so they factor into those levels. But I think more importantly, it allows a seller to assess their business and evaluate their business compared to others within the marketplace. And it gives information to the seller that they can act on. Mm-hmm. So if let's say they're having a higher than average item not as described rate compared to their peers, then they can actually do some things about that. They can look at the images that they're taking. They can look at the descriptions that they've written. They can look at their source of inventory, like where are they getting their product? Is it from a quality source? And they can actually do that while looking at competitors in the marketplace and seeing who's showing up top of search. Are they a top-rated seller? It probably means their item not as described claims are pretty low. If you've got a high item not as described claim rate within your category, it's a great opportunity for you to evaluate against those peers.
And frankly, look at what they're doing.
Exactly.
If they're doing great and they have great descriptions, don't rip them off word for word, but be inspired by how they do their...
Yes, no plagiarism.
Yeah, no plagiarism. But have a look at the top performers in your category and see what they're doing right.
Exactly. And the other thing that this does, though, is it creates visibility to the metrics. We don't want this to be a secret. We want sellers to understand how they're performing, because if a seller is evaluating their business and they're looking at how they're performing and they get better, that's a better experience for the buyer. It means the seller's going to get more sales, and it means the buyer's more likely to come back to the eBay marketplace, which is what every seller in the marketplace wants.
Yeah. And if a seller has a high rate of item not received, what adjustments should they make?
Number one, make sure you're using tracking. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're uploading tracking on time. If you use eBay label printing, then it'll automatically upload for you, so you don't actually have to worry about giving us the tracking number. It'll just happen. Some of the third-party services will do that as well for you, so it's not just eBay label printing that does that. Check your carriers. Make sure that the carrier's doing what they say they're going to do, and most of them do. I'd say the number one thing is tracking.
Another thing I would say is make sure you're hitting your handling time.
Yes.
There's a way to set your handling time in eBay and then make that handling time. If you tell eBay that you are handling in one day, but you're actually in the real world handling in 2 days, you may have a problem.
And clearly, it's important for how quick an item's going to get to a buyer and what we're displaying to those buyers. It's based on the handling time that a seller says. So if you're saying you're shipping within 1 day, it's really important that you do ship within 1 day. It's also important from a tracking standpoint, because if you say you ship within 1 day, but it's taking you 2, and your tracking upload doesn't happen till day 2, it means we're measuring you based on what the buyer says and not what tracking says. Because if you ship it within your handling time, you get credit for shipping that item on time. If it shows up not as delivered, but you've got tracking to the customer's door, then you'll be protected.
And one other thing is make sure that you list with the shipping service that you mention in the listing.
Yeah.
Don't promise a fast delivery date and then as you go to ship, say, I'm going to opt for the cheaper, slower one because that'll get you a ding too.
And I don't think any of our sellers do that.
No, nobody would do that.
None of our listeners is what I meant.
Okay, that's great, Brian. Anything else sellers should know about service metrics or seller performance?
So the first thing that I would say is check them regularly. You can check them every day if you like. I don't think that's necessary. Someone who's doing high velocity needs to go in probably monthly. Going in monthly is frequently enough for someone who has high velocity of sales on our platform. If you have a lower velocity of sales, you might want to check them a little bit more frequently just to make sure you don't have a few instances in a row that could set you from top rated and push you down to something like above standard. I think the other thing that you want to do is just track to see how are they trending. Most sellers in our platform, once they get a system in place and they understand how they're shipping or they're describing their items and they know the source of their inventory and they're doing a good job of that, there probably shouldn't be a lot of variation within their metrics. So if you've changed source or if you've changed, let's say, the types of items that you list, it's important to track those things because maybe those are types of events that could impact your metrics. So definitely check them on a regular basis and see how they're trending. And if they start to trend higher, then you're going to want to take a deeper look into those item descriptions, the listings, your shipping practices, all of those types of things, and make adjustments to get them more in line with how they were before. Lastly, check our announcement board or seller news within community, where we'll be updating announcements on whether it's these metrics or Seller Hub in general for additional information on how you can improve your performance on the platform. And this time of year is actually a great time to do that. Early in January, you've just come out of a very, very busy selling season. It's time to take like a little bit of a breath and look back and see how you've done over the course of the year, and more importantly, over maybe the last couple months. And then make some adjustments now that are going to make it better for you going into the next quarter or half a year.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
So if you want to learn more, we'll put links to the relevant pages on the podcast description page.
Coming up next, What's Hot with Liz Austin. Joining us now is our favorite correspondent from Down Under, who lives here now, Liz Austin with What's Hot. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Grief. Nice to see you back.
It's nice to be back.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. So what do you have for us this week?
So this week we're talking about mindful shopping.
Mindful shopping. Can you define that?
Well, I'm going to give you a bit of context here. So as we say, Happy New Year. We had the biggest Black Friday and Cyber Monday on record. So that means that consumers were purchasing a lot over holiday. But with that comes the hangover. Binge shopping is a thing. I don't know about you, but my husband found me in the corner of the room, quietly on the phone, surfing the internet and purchasing. Cradling in this position. I must buy more.
I call it retail therapy.
That's what I called it until he came in and he said, "That's enough. Stop."
This from the guy that says goodnight to Google.
That's right. I'm putting the brakes on. Have you looked at the Mint app lately? We're running out of money. You've got to stop buying. It starts this roller coaster effect. You start buying one thing over Cyber Week and then it just keeps going and going and going and you get into this rhythm of buying, and then holiday's over and you're still buying and buying and buying, and then intervention. Here he comes.
Thank God for husbands. Now, is that mindful buying? It sounds like sort of mindless spending.
That was mindless spending. So this is what happens next. So what comes with the hangover is now this mindful shopping. So it's an annual behavior, and it happens when we're exiting a hyped up shopping season where on average purchases exceeded typical buying habits. So high price points were hit, buying gifts for others and taking advantage of sales on luxury electronics or special products for themselves, otherwise known as self-gifting.
Yeah.
But now, buyers are being super thoughtful about spending as a result of their holiday binge.
So they've overdone it, and now they're going on the spending wagon.
That's right.
I get it.
But mindful spending.
Mindful spending.
So being very thoughtful about what they're buying so they don't ruin their budgets like they did over the holiday.
It sounds like a smart thing to do year-round. I mean, we should always be mindful, right?
Absolutely.
Why buy stuff you don't need?
Well, this is true.
I said lecturing myself.
And I've had to have intervention.
I haven't been there yet, but I could see it happening someday.
So when we think about mindful shopping, people are also incorporating that with their New Year's resolutions. They're thinking about themselves, what they can do to have the best 2019 possible. They're thinking about their health. I've obviously binged on food and maybe some cheeky alcohol out there.
So they're thinking cheeky alcohol. I like that.
So they're thinking about how they can get their life back on track and have some good New Year's resolutions. So this is all about the buyer behavior, is what I'm talking to you about right now. So,
and I need to know this as a seller. It'll make more sense when I'm sourcing product or putting things up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when you're thinking about the buyer, you're going to be responding to their needs, and then in turn, they're going to buy what you're listing.
Can you give us an example of what things maybe somebody would be looking for if they're mindful buying?
So fitness and health is the biggest category at the moment.
Is that just for January?
Well, always, but particularly peaks right now.
You know, at the gym, I've been going to a gym for 10 years, and my trainer and I always laugh because we call those people the Januaries.
The Januaries.
They show up right after New Year's. They're fully outfitted, and they're going to do all these workouts. And then you never see them again come February.
Well, I must say I'm a bit like that. I've definitely gained about 5 pounds over the holidays.
So 5 pounds? It doesn't show at all.
Yeah, so my search is now not on, you know, the high ticket items that what I can buy over holiday, but, right, you know, health and beauty and fitness. So what vitamins can I buy? What diets can I go on?
So right now is a good time to be listing those products.
Absolutely.
And our data on eBay shows that they're highly sought after and there's a big velocity in those categories.
Definitely. And our merchants are actively searching for those products to feel the demand as well at the moment.
Although they are to some extent sort of discretionary purchases, they become necessities when somebody is focused on improving their health.
That's right. So then they're thinking about, okay, well, I'm going to really invest financially and mentally in this. So I'm going to buy some athletic gear. I'm going to buy an armband for my electronics. I'm going to buy, you know, a waterproof durable phone case, fitness watch, Fitbit, heart monitor, even a travel size hair dryer so they can take to the gym. Do you have one of those?
Have you looked at my head lately? What am I having to dry?
Super small one.
It's like a desert up there.
But then as they're also thinking about their health, they're thinking about food preparation. So they need plastic boxes to prepare the food that they've made on the weekend, which is super healthy.
Oh, like if my resolution is I'm not going to buy lunches at work, I'm going to bring my food in.
That's right. Makes sense. Not going to splurge on the burger and chips, which you're going to have the protein and salad that you've made on the weekend.
At least for a few weeks.
Because you're a January,
right.
And then also house organization. So my mother-in-law left on Sunday. And so now I'm in overdrive nesting mode. So I'm back in, you know, clearing out her room, getting the house in order, boxing things, moving furniture around, getting cabinets to get my files in place for the tax season, new printers, new laptop, new furniture, just to start the year right.
I have to confess, I hadn't thought of it as a deliberate act, but that's exactly what I'm doing in the evenings now at home.
It's quite strange. Every year it happens, isn't it?
Yeah, the January organization.
Yep. Also, have you bought your planner or your calendar or your diary, as we say in Australia?
So I use my phone and I just rely on that. I don't know if that's smart. I used to have a day planner, but I lost it. So I kept losing.
Good. That was a good plan.
Yeah, I'm not good with stuff like that. But yeah, this makes sense. Organizing this is the time of year, going into the spring, of course. And I actually know sellers like who spend this time organizing their workspace as well. So you may not just be selling to mindful buyers, mindful sellers who are buying right now for their business.
Absolutely. So it's really a life overhaul, isn't it? Because you want to set, you know, put the intentions out there, start the year right, get yourself organized so that you put the best foot forward and have a ripper year.
So if I need some ideas on the site, I know normally we would go to explore.ebay.com, but these are kind of category specific. So it might be wise just go to specific categories and search for sold items. You can get a good idea of what's been hot in the last week, for example, in a category and maybe source those products.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Always thinking about what the life stage that the buyer is going through. New year, new you, you know, what does that mean for your life? What does that mean for your business? And then that's going to inspire what you buy from eBay.
We should put together a list for every month, like what's going to be hot in February, so you have some time beforehand.
We do have something like that coming out.
I didn't doubt you for a minute.
How did you know that? But speaking of which, a fantastic segue, Griff. What is the next retail moment do you think that we want our sellers to prepare for?
Oh, I think I know the answer to this. It's Valentine's Day.
Woohoo!
And that's a huge retail moment.
Huge.
Lots of buying things for your loved one.
Absolutely. So what we're saying right now, we believe buyers will be looking for wristwatches from Casio, Invicta, G-Shock, Fossil, under $180. Or new and used wristwatches from premium brands like Rolex, Hublot, Panerai, between $2,800 and $7,000. I wonder if my husband's going to buy me one of those.
Well, you have to ask. You have to hint.
Pretty doubtful.
I can't tell time on this cheap watch.
We're still going through the binge intervention right now.
Well, that'll give him something to binge on. So,
high-end handbags and accessories. Mm. Fendi, Gucci, Burberry, Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and branded handbags, Coach, Dooney & Burke. And then your favorite, fragrances and colognes.
Yeah, that's
big hit.
Huge on Valentine's Day.
So what are you going to do with your business right now preparing for Valentine's Day?
Well, I think the tie-in for me is that I have tons of fragrances that are, most of them are out of production or are highly sought after but no longer available. And I think I've been putting up more and I've been selling them. So I think in preparation for Valentine's Day this month, I'll be loading up a lot of my inventory. You know, I'm slimming down on my personal possessions. Mm-hmm. At one point, I had over 2,500 bottles of cologne in my personal collection, and I think it's time to cull that down to maybe half.
Wow.
If not less.
That's a big goal.
Well, there's no way at my age that I'll ever wear all these fragrances in my lifetime, so I think I need to send them back out into the world, don't you?
Once a year on Valentine's Day, you might.
So, what are you going to do?
Well, my husband actually is very anti-Valentine's Day, so it's a pretty much a non-event in our household.
Does he not give you anything?
Well, his theory is that he should give me gifts every day, or, you know, random days throughout the year, rather than Hallmark telling him what day he should give me a gift.
And does he?
Well, that's the point. It doesn't happen. So that theory is defunct.
So it's aspirational.
That's the right word.
Does he need an intervention himself, I wonder?
Marriage counseling.
Is this a good time of year for that?
Probably.
Is it a service you can sell on eBay, I wonder? Probably in the services category.
Yeah, those books would be selling well right now, I'm sure.
Well, all kidding aside, it's really important to understand these cultural trends so that you as a seller can make sure you have the products available that buyers are going to be searching for.
There we go. Yeah. So it's just thinking about putting ourselves in the buyer's shoes.
Yes.
Thinking about cultural moments or the life stage that they're in at that moment in time, and then hence what's going to spur their purchasing, you know, what they're searching for, and then list it up there and give them what they're looking for.
Mindful buying leads to mindful sourcing.
Well, I love that tagline. Let's leave the show on that.
Okay, thanks, Liz. It's always a pleasure. We'll see you again in another show soon.
See you soon.
Thanks. We've been speaking to Liz Austin. She's our correspondent from our Seller Marketing Strategist team. She's the marketing strategist for sellers on what's going to be hot on eBay. And that's our show for this week. Time to start planning for 2019 success.
Yep, I'm going to run out and start digging into my seller hub, look at all my metrics, start planning for 2019. What am I going to do?
So there's a chance you're going to incorporate some of this?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, for sure.
It's going to check in on you at the end of the year.
How about you? Are you going to?
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping to ramp up my selling after a year of deliberate neglect.
Neglect? How so?
Well, this last year, there were some personal issues on which I needed to focus, and they took away from the time I needed for my business. But my calendar is all cleared now, and I'm ready to jump back in for 2019.
Very nice. Glad to hear it.
Don't forget our number, by the way.
Of course. If you want to be part of the fun here on Selling on eBay, you can be part of the show when you call us at 888-723-4630.
Well, that's right. You can call us at 888-723-4630. You can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave a question or comment and we'll get back to you and we'll put you on the air.
Are you shy?
Not me.
Are you uncomfortable putting your voice on the air?
Obviously not.
I'm talking to sellers.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Not to worry. We have our very own email address where you can send your questions if you prefer. It's sellingonebay@ebay.com. That's sellingonebay@ebay.com.
Oh, and if you have room on your list of New Year's resolutions, why not add attending a local seller meetup to the end of that list? Meetups are the perfect antidote to cabin fever. It's where you can get out for a few hours and mingle with other eBay sellers over beverages and nosh, usually at restaurants. Maybe some of these meetups are at other sellers' homes. And at seller meetups, sellers share tips, stories, and insights, and okay, maybe a little gossip too. You can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups. That's at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And don't forget to tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday, 12:30 Pacific time. You can find that at facebook.com/eBay for Business.
And now the credits, Audrey.
Okay, here we go. Director of Community, Brian Burke.
Community Manager, Alan Aisbit.
Community Manager and Technology and News Editor, Doug Smith.
Marketing Strategist, Liz Austin.
Editor-in-Chief and Host, that's you, Griff.
Scriptwriter and Co-host, that's you, Audrey Tracy.
And 2019 is now open for business. Download and listen every week to the Selling on eBay podcast for the leg up your business on eBay needs to compete and prosper in the coming year.
Selling on eBay is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. Again, another one in the can.
Very nice.
I like this
Welcome
show.
Welcome back. That's the point.